Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity. I'm Greg Corumbus, and Jim, you know, for most of the last couple months, the Bad Martini has been exclusively sponsored by the Middle East. So today, things are looking up enough that we're actually moving it to the number one martini for a couple of reasons. One of which is slightly pathetic, but it's still good in a sense, and that's that the president finally realizes that it is worth discussing a kinetic military action in prime time. So apparently he's going to do that tonight. He clearly didn't want it to conflict with the NCAA tournament, so that'll be not a problem tonight. But at the same time, the rebels are making progress. They're now back to Sirte, so kind of about halfway back to Tripoli, and it looks like with the help of the NATO-led coalition, a.k.a. the United States, they are back on the plus side again as they try to take back over the country.
Yeah, and you know, like I said, that's a positive signs, and you know, part of one of the reasons I wanted to make this the good martini is we so rarely see any good news in this part of the world that when we do, I feel like we should, you know, nurture it like a small, you know, plant that needs needs water and sunlight and such. One of the things that jumps out at me as you watch the way Obama has handled this is that people like myself were kind of scoffing at him spending time with ESPN doing the brackets. And then they said, oh, no, it's ridiculous. The criticism was silly. But then the very next day, he did three separate events with Japan, who, if we will call at that point, was on, you know, reactor meltdown watch.
Sure.
Then we said, you know, well, you're launching a war, kinetic military action. Do you really want to be spending 5 days or 6 days or however long it was in South America? You know, maybe you could, you know, postpone the trip or something. And the White House said, no, that's silly. This is typical partisan carping. But then after a couple of days, they announced that they were cutting the trip short, and he left that last stop a bit early. Then lots of us kind of noticed, hey, you know, this is the first time we've launched a war. There I go again. Kinetic military action without anything resembling a primetime address from the president. And, you know, Bush did this for both Afghanistan and Iraq. I think even, you know, Clinton going back to Bosnia and such. I mean, just kind of almost standard that if you're taking U.S. soldiers into harm's way, you tell the country, and a midday 5-minute statement really just isn't, you know, isn't going to cut it. And of course, once again, the White House said, pish posh, that's silly, balderdash. And now, lo and behold, there is going to be one at 7:30 this evening. So yeah, I'm glad that I guess we're never wrong, Greg. We're just early. we just kind of come to the right strategy before they do. And once they think of it, then it's the right thing to do. So I think this all stems from folks on the right consider this, whether or not you agree with taking out Gaddafi or not. I think most of us think he's a terrible guy and would like to see him wearing gasoline underpants in heck. Think that this is a big deal, even if it's all air based. As I've noted earlier, you know, guys get shot down and suddenly the mission isn't air based. That this is not something you can underplay. This is not something you can kind of soft pedal and try to get it to fade into the background with other bits of news. And, as the news cycle when the country is at war tends to focus on it, at the very least in the beginning of military conflicts, this administration really seems to want to he's doing an education event earlier today. I just can't understand why the president is trying to go forward with business as usual when he's leading us into military action. And I think it says a great deal about Obama that this is something he thinks doesn't require the White House to be on a wartime footing. I think he says one of those things where he wants to engage in military action, but he doesn't want to be distracted from his domestic agenda. And I think he just doesn't understand that both kind of psychologically and in terms of the news cycle and in terms of the way the American, you know, political system works, you really can't do war as a hobby. I'm sorry, kinetic military action as a hobby. You can't do it on the side. It's not a side dish. It's something that requires presidential focus, and I hope the president really does a heck of a job selling this, because there's a lot of doubters out there.
There certainly are, and I certainly don't want to drag our good martini down into the sewer, but I think there are a couple things he needs to address. In addition to the progress we've seen from the rebels, there's also a couple of troubling things, including links and headlines today saying this will take months, not days or weeks. Also, it's never a good idea to see headlines saying Al-Qaeda fighters joining rebels. That should also be addressed to, you know, have us understand exactly who we're helping here. And then, of course, as the rebels push back towards the West, and we think that's a good thing, remember, the UN resolution doesn't actually call for completely taking over the country, only certain cities. So what will the UN resolution and our NATO-led coalition, a.k.a. the United States, do once the rebels, if they can, get back to those cities that the UN says they should have? Will they finish the job and really squeeze the noose? Things to be decided here going forward. And it all goes back to the president's waffling on the fate of Gaddafi. So it'll be very interesting to see what he says about that tonight and what he'll do if, in fact, the rebels get back to all those points that he said they're entitled to. On to number two now, and Joe Biden, we haven't talked about him in a while, and usually he's a perfect fodder for number three, and this probably could qualify for that if we didn't have another good number three today. Joe Biden down in Florida last week, Jim, doing a fundraiser for embattled Florida Senator Bill Nelson, trying to raise money for what is expected to be one of the most competitive races in the country. A guy named Scott Powers reports for the Orlando Sentinel and was going to the event. And the vice president's advance team decided it wasn't good for him to mingle with the guests. He could only come out when the senator and the vice president spoke at this fundraiser. And so in the meantime, while folks are out there listening to classical music and eating very fancy appetizers, he's stuck in an 8x10 closet crammed with a bunch of just random stuff. And the vice president's office eventually issued an apology, but not for detaining him, just for detaining him in a place that wasn't quite as nice as he probably should have been detained in. I can only imagine what the Bush-Cheney campaign would have dealt with from the media if they had done something like this.
Oh, good heavens. I mean, this would have been closet gate. This would have been leading, obviously, by MSNBC. The anchors would be grabbing AK-47s like we saw that Libyan television anchor promising to defend Gaddafi to the death. That would have been the tone by Rachel Maddow and the crew over there. On CNN, this would have been, I'm sure, we'll see how many questions Carney gets about this at the press briefing today. You hope that there's a lot of people who would say, a lot of questions in the vein of, what the hell made you guys think you could do something like this? What the hell's wrong with you? Do you know of any applicable kidnapping laws in Florida that would apply to these circumstances and such? Mo Lane, who writes over at Red State, points out that, we can laugh about this and we can make a joke about reporters coming out of the closet and such things. But in the end, this says a lot about the way the people around the president and vice president think and the way they think that they can, treat people. I mean, this is, never mind that he's a reporter. The idea that, quick, let's put him in a closet. There's a certain these folks are on a power trip and they really don't care who they tick off. They don't really care who they step on. And the fact that they would do this for a fairly significant reporter for a fairly significant paper in that region and not fear the consequences says a great deal about them. And, don't worry. I guess we can all rest easy with this, Greg, because, they did send him an email of apology.
That's exactly right. And it's interesting, though, that despite the shoddy treatment, obviously, this reporter got, but you've got reporters at the White House, especially, and elsewhere in the administration grumbling about lack of access. And yet at the same time, the tenor and tone of the coverage is, for the most part, still very, very positive. And it's just hard to imagine not only what would have happened under a Republican administration given that restricted access, but just what it would take to have them just objectively see what's being done to their own profession by this administration. Very, very.
Yeah, it's really bothersome. I understand several White House press reporters on the regular beat have been shoved into desk drawers. they just smush them in there. And it's just, just not an appropriate way to deal with somebody who's a member of the Fourth Estate.
Exactly. Well, you mentioned Jay Carney. He, of course, replaced Robert Gibbs. And I know you've been scanning the internet every day since Gibbs stepped down last month to find out where in the world can we find Robert Gibbs again, because we miss him so much. And it turns out he's going to be taking on a very similar position at Facebook. So apparently Facebook is very interested in having very confusing, contradictory statements whenever anything remotely important comes up. So good for them and good for Robert Gibbs.
Opaque, vague, punctuated with a certain bits of surliness. I believe it was Dana Milbank who said that Robert Gibbs always acts like he's playing himself in the movie. Nothing around him is real, and he's the wisecracking, dismissive White House press secretary. Yeah, I thought Gibbs was terrible at his job. I talking about people who – I understand why people think Obama is a fantastic speaker, because you put the man in front of two teleprompters and you give him a big cheering crowd and he can, work it with the best of them. Gibbs very often stammers and is full of I have no information on that, and I'm going to have to look that up for you. Next question. And apparently that's what Facebook is going to get. Apparently, in the future, you're going to log onto your Facebook page. You'll say, "What's new with all my friends?" And it's just going to say, I have no information on that. It's a way of turning it from a social network to a anti-social network. It'll be a way for you not to stay in touch with people. It's a new way of addressing all the privacy concerns. If you can't get any information out of it, all of a sudden you won't have a problem with people knowing stuff about you that they shouldn't. Because if there's anything that, you know, I don't like to think of Robert Gibbs as a communications professional, Greg. I think he's best described as a lack of communications professional. And if you need to just kind of shut down all the communications within your organization, Robert Gibbs is your man.
Yeah, I think one of the greatest blessings Jay Carney's ever had in life is to replace Robert Gibbs. The bar was not high to clear. So that's a good act to follow if you can get the gig. Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Looking forward to it, Greg. See you.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us tomorrow at this time for the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch.